Hi, everyone. It's week two of the playoffs, and this is the North Shore Football Preview Show. I'm Bill Newell, and we're brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and in Salisbury, and the Bradford Tavern in Raleigh. Thanks so much for being with us. In this week's program, we'll preview this week's live video streaming football game, Gloucester at Marblehead. Gloucester High football coach Tony Zirilli.
They always seem to just reload. They never seem to lose a step.
Also in Division 2A North, Danvers playing at North Reading. Danvers coach Sean Terrio.
Some real big boys up front. They have an excellent running back and an excellent running quarterback. So they're going to be tough to handle.
Saturday in Division 2, Beverly travels to Tewksbury. Beverly coach Andrew Morenci.
Them being undefeated, playing on their home turf, you know, it's like, but Tewksbury certainly is a very physical team. They're going to be well coached. I know coach does a great job over there.
We'll have live coverage of all three of these games this weekend on MSO. We'll hear from more coaches, and we'll get analysis from the item's Steve Krause.
I think if you're looking for a team that you can honestly say from day one to now has steadily improved, it would be Peabody.
We have analysis from our own John Squires.
He's done a great, Coach Bennencourt's done a great job over there. We were talking before we went on the air here that he may be in candidate for a coach of the year. They were 1-3 at one time. They're 4-4 now. They're beating some big teams.
And we will meet our North Shore Player of the Week, Johnny Jones of Beverly High.
Once again, you got to give it to the coaches for just showing us the film and everything. And then once you get out there, you just can't think about it. You just got to make the play. You just got to step up.
So relax. Enjoy football the weekend before the election, right here on the North Shore Football Preview Show. And hello again, and welcome to another edition of the North Shore Football Preview Show. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, let's go right to the Division 2A games, where we'll find Gloucester playing at Marblehead. That will be our live streaming video game on Friday night with Rick Moore and Paul Ingram on hand. Rick Moore is standing by with his thoughts on this game Friday night. Rick?
Well, Bill, this is going to be a tough one for Gloucester. As Coach Zirilli knows and has mentioned, everybody knows that Marblehead is the favorite. They are a high school team with not many, if any, weaknesses. They are very strong. We've seen them a number of times this year, and they are firing on all cylinders. It's a rematch of last year's playoff game as well, in which Marblehead won by a score of 27-0. And in point of fact, Marblehead has won the last five matches against Gloucester. Gloucester had won the five games prior to that. They took a couple of years off in between. So it should be a good one. It's going to be cold on Friday night, and we are going to present live video streaming, but we have to be up in the stands. As we have documented, there is really no press box for us to broadcast from, so Paul Ingram and I will be up in the stands with Andrew Nicastro on our video camera. We'll be down at one end of the field, and we're going to do the best we can to bring you that big game between Gloucester and Marblehead. Bill?
All right, Rick. And Gloucester head coach Tony Zirilli knows that he is running up against a very tough Marblehead team Friday.
Marblehead's been up for a while now. You know, they do a great job over there. They're a great program. They always seem to just reload. They never seem to lose a step. Defensively, they're solid. They're sound defense. They know their responsibilities and they execute them. Offensively, you know, they do so many multiple things that, you know, it gets your head spinning sometimes. Our message to our kids are, you know, nobody expects anything from us, right? You know, we can go in there. We can take it to this team. I think we're feeling very confident defensively. I think we have a great defensive game plan going in. We watched some films. We went over what we're going to do. And I think the kids really see that if they execute their game plan, it works. And that was my message to them yesterday, offensively and defensively. We watched film from last year. We watched film from this year. And plays are there. Offensively, the plays were there. We just didn't execute last year. A lot of missed blocks, a lot of bouncing off players. And our message this week is just execute, 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 and good things will happen.
Gloucester football coach Tony Zirilli. His entire interview with Rick Moore is available on our website on a previous post from Thursday. In the other Division 2A game on Friday night, Danvers travels to North Reading. We believe this will be a broadcast game right here on MSONewsSports.com. This is Danvers coach Sean Terrio looking at the game Friday night and looking at his opponent, North Reading.
This is sort of an up-and-coming team. They moved up the division, but they got some real big boys up front. They have an excellent running back and an excellent running quarterback. So they're going to be tough to handle.
You know, they've been good the last number of years too, right?
Yeah. I mean, they've been good, and I know they've kind of moved up a division. So I didn't know much about them until this year, and they're certainly a very well coached team, and some real physical kids.
Can you compare them to, say, a Northeastern Conference team?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough to compare them. I mean, up front they're pretty physical, like similar to what Peabody, I'd say. Their running back is sort of a Doug Santos type runner. You know, I wouldn't say quite at that level, but like that's kind of the style of his running, and he's very effective.
You know, you look around, you know, Northeastern Conference has a lot of teams in the playoffs, but so does the Cape Ann League here in this weekend as well. There are a number of teams, and of course, North Reading, one of them, and they were in the upper echelon of the North Division there.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's certainly a tribute to the football in this area. I think it's improved immensely over the last 10 years, and, you know, it's great to see all the NEC teams, like, you know, continuing on and moving on in their respective divisions.
Well, you guys are coming off the win last week against Wakefield, so maybe just an observation on that after you've looked at the films and, you know, had a few days of practice here.
Yeah, you know, I just love how our team came out in the rain and the wind, and they really took it to a team that, traditionally has been very, very stout team, and the kids came out flying, they came out disciplined, and I was really proud of what they were able to do.
And any news notes at all from Danvers football for this week as far as injuries and any lineup moves from last week to this week?
Yeah, Dean hurt his ankle, but he'll be back. He's probably out of practice again today, but he got good news from the doctor yesterday that he'll be back for this game. Kyle Purcell went out in the game, and he's questionable for this week.
Danvers High football coach Sean Terrio. There again at North Reading Friday night, and we expect that to be a broadcast game right here on MSO News Sports. Let's jump to Division II North, where Beverly plays at Tewksbury Saturday afternoon at 2. Another live radio game right here on MSO News Sports. Marty Smith and Tim Kearns with the broadcast here on MSO. This is Beverly coach Andrew Morenci.
It's comparable to Marblehead in a sense, and because them being undefeated, playing on their home turf, you know, it's like. But Tewksbury certainly is a very physical team. They're going to be well coached. I know Coach does a great job over there. Their program is strong. We're definitely going to have our hands full.
You know, it seems like any Northeast Conference team, if they want to continue on, has to go through Tewksbury.
Yeah.
If it's not Lincoln Sudbury, it's Tewksbury.
That's right. You know, with the alignments the way they are, you know, having Bill Ricketts and Tewksbury both in the same division, you know, that's kind of just a luck of the draw a little bit for us. You know, that's something that we've known for a while, so that's just kind of the way it is. And we knew a long ago that the path would probably go through a Tewksbury or Bill Ricketts, and it's kind of played out that way.
You don't change the game plan really at this point in the year. You can't get too fancy because then you seem to operate against yourself. It's just getting everybody on the same page, you know, correcting some minor errors that you've seen maybe in the game film over the last couple of weeks, isn't it?
It's true. You know, you don't want to go away from what's gotten you here. You know, we want to, for us particularly, we want to run and pass. That's something we've done all year, but in the way that we do it, we want to stay true to what is, you know, like I said, like you just mentioned, to what's gotten at this point. So we want to fine-tune a little bit. On the other hand, we certainly want to have an element of surprise there, be able to use things that in a pinch or in a moment's notice. And so we're trying to find that happy medium a little bit, so to speak, kind of fine-tuning what we do and certainly having maybe a trick up our sleeve in case that's needed.
Beverly coach Andrew Morenci talking on Panther Preview with our own Tim Kearns. Again, that is Beverly at Tewksbury Saturday afternoon at 2 right here on MSO. Masconomet will be at Billerica Friday night at 7 o'clock. Chieftains head coach Gavin Monagle has an easy summary of his team's next opponent.
Oh, they're good. They're good. They got a couple good running backs. They got a good offensive line. They're good. They don't have any, you know, not too many tricks per se, not too many different schemes, but they do things well. They line up a lot of double tight end stuff, and, you know, they run that ball really well, and when they have to throw, you know, they throw it, you know, pretty good too, so. They're good. They're good athletes right across the line. You know, the linebackers are solid. You know, D-line's solid. They're very good. So, you know, it's it's just fun to be competing right now this time of year and being in the you know, being in the conversation with these guys, and you know, come a long way from a year ago where we, you know, we weren't.
Coach Gavin Monacle of Masconomet on Bill Ricca Friday night. Now in Division 1A, Peabody plays at number one-seeded Lincoln Sudbury Friday night at 7 o'clock. Tanner's coach, Mark Betancourt, had a special message to his team before last week's game and their win over Westford Academy.
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest thing for me was some of my baseball players play on the football team, and I told them when I learned of who we drew, I said, gentlemen, you can't allow us to get knocked out by the same team in the same place twice in the same year, because that's where our baseball team got knocked out in June.
Mm-hmm.
I said, don't let this happen to us twice in the same year. And the baseball guys kind of laughed and chuckled a little bit, but I was being dead serious. We played really, really well. Like you said, the conditions weren't ideal. But you know, we explained to our guys before the game, this is the playoffs. Everybody's record is 0-0. Throw out all your statistics. Whoever shows up and plays football and wins moves on, and who doesn't, you know, gets sent home. And I think they really bought into that and played really, really, really strong football for four quarters.
Coach, what was the strongest part of your game this past weekend?
Well, I mean, the dual county league, if you look at the teams that are in that league, majority of those teams are spread teams. I'm not sure they've really played anybody that comes right at them the way we did. I mean, we pounded the ball. I think we only threw the ball four or five times. We just came right at them, double tights and pounded it between the tackles. And I think just over the course of the game, we kind of wore them out. I don't think they were used to playing that brand of football.
PBD coach Mark Betancourt speaking on the Monday night North Shore Sports Night Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns. In the other 1A game Friday night, it's Chelmsford playing at Reading. Now in Division 1 North, Central Catholic plays at Everett. That's a 5 o'clock game on Saturday afternoon. And Andover will be playing at St. John's Prep at 2 o'clock on Saturday in Division 1 North. Andover coach E.J. Perry believes his team is beginning to peak as they travel to the Prep.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what everybody didn't understand. When I was going into this game, I mean, I respect Lexington and especially their quarterback and their coach. They do a lot of creative things, and Sal is just incredible quarterback. But I felt my team was coming together, and even though our record at the time was 3-4, we had played BCI early in the year, Billerica when they were number two in the state. We played Central when they were in the top five. We played Haverhill when they were actually three in the state, and we went to the Haverhill Everett game, and they didn't look as good, but they're a very, very good team. And so when you have that gauntlet to go through, and we lost, people don't understand, we lost Gemmel, who was rated the number one receiver. We lost him in the second game. So he hasn't played the last five games. He got a knee injury, and it looks like he's not going to play the rest of the season. He's going to Brown University, and he had scholarships to Colgate and other Division I AA schools. So he was a weapon. He had caught 18 touchdown passes last year as a junior, and he caught eight in the first two games, and then he got hurt. So
Wow. That's
been tough. Now it's been, like you say, great team building, because now we've had to rely on this kid Murata, the junior who's taken over for Gemmel, made an unbelievable pass in the corner of the end zone. A touchdown catch. It was unbelievable.
EJ.
And then you have Gillette, who stepped up, Rocco, who stepped up, and Jack Bosey, who stepped up. So these four receivers have had to come along. They've just had to do it differently, and it's a learning curve, and they've done a nice job. So we are coming together, and we feel good about this Saturday. We're excited. It's a nice place to play, and we're ready to go.
Coach E.J. Perry. Now, Andover quarterback E.J. Perry Jr. holds many state high school passing records, and he appreciates his teammates, including his talented receivers.
Yeah, Cedric Gillette obviously had the big game against Lexington, and he started last year as well, and he's probably the hardest worker on the team. Every day in the off season, he's calling me, texting me, let's throw, and you can tell it's definitely helped, because he's not the biggest, strongest, or fastest guy on the field, but he's always in the right position, he's always open, he's always running the right route, and it's from all that practice. And then as far as Joe Rockwell, another huge senior who stepped up this year, who hadn't started in the past, has exploded this year. I think he's our second leading receiver. And he's just a tough physical guy, big guy, who is able to use everything in his power to get open, and he's not afraid to hit. He's having a great year, and he's always open too. And then we have two brand new guys, Murata, who stepped in for Dan Gemmel, who got injured, who has played awesome, played fantastic throughout these last four games, and has caught some unbelievable catches. The one in the back of the end zone against Lexington, the one in the back of the end zone against Lowell, and has really stepped up big time. And then with Jack Bosey, another senior who didn't start last year and who has really stepped up big time, and especially in these last few games without Gemmel being that outside receiver who's catching all the balls. I think he has five catches in both the last two games. He's awesome. He's out there every day, works hard, and I've known all four of them since, or Murata not as much, but the other three I've grown up with since I was little, playing baseball, basketball, and football with them since we were in grade school, and Murata I've known since eighth grade. So it's really fun to be able to play and throw to all these guys and all these and have such talented receivers around me.
That's Andover High School quarterback E.J. Perry. Both he and his father were speaking Monday night on the North Shore Sports Night talk show here on MSO. As we jump to Division III North, Newburyport plays at Watertown Friday night at 7 o'clock. The Clippers pulled off a win against Pentucket a week ago. Head coach Mike Levine says his team is looking at a very tough Watertown opponent Friday.
Number one seed in our region, Watertown. We're going there, and they've lost just one game all year, so they're a tough opponent. They've got a good quarterback, athletic kid. They've got a really good fullback slash middle linebacker who does a lot of things for them. You know, they beat Melrose this year, who I thought was an excellent, well-coached team, and they've got a win over them. Well, they've beaten everyone they've played except for Wakefield Memorial. So, you know, they beat Stoneham in a great game. They're a good football team.
Newburyport head football coach Mike Levine. Also on Friday in Division III North, Bishop Fenwick at Triton. That is a 7 o'clock game. In other 3A action, it is Linfield at St. Mary's, Manningfield and Lynn Friday night at 7, Stoneham at Ipswich Friday night at 7 o'clock. In college football this weekend, it's Endicott on the road at Coast Guard. It's a noon kickoff. This is Endicott College football coach Kevin DeWall.
Yeah, and I think that's what we always focus on. It doesn't matter what the records are. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. We want to take care of our business and know that you got to give every team their due respect. Coast Guard's a very good team, one of the better passing offenses in the conference, a senior quarterback that's been very good with the ball, with three or four targets that are, you know, in the upper echelon statistically in our league with receptions and yards. So we know our defense is going to have to defend the pass, and there's a couple different ways we can do that. We're going to try to, you know, obviously make sure that he's not comfortable in the pocket. So between the defensive line and our linebackers and safeties, you know, mixing up both the coverage schemes for our guys, as well as the blitz patterns to make sure that we're going to try to, you know, impose our will up at the point of attack to make sure that they're not comfortable in their pass protections. And then we're going to have to cover well. We're going to have to make plays with the ball in the air. And we've been inconsistent, unfortunately, during throughout the season with that. So our young defensive backs are going to have to play the ball well in the air and make some opportunities and some plays when they're there. One of the best ways you can kind of counteract that is obviously on offense if we're able to possess the ball. And that's what happened to them last week. They had a team that was able to possess the ball. And so I think it really comes back to having a balanced attack on offense, trying to give our defense a lead and trying to go on the road. And on their senior day, I know they're going to be excited to play, is to play a complete game on our end.
Coach, just talk about, in comparison to the MIT game, big time of possession in that win. Is that a similar thought process going into this Saturday?
Without doubt. We would like to say we've been doing that all year long. Some games better than others, but our approach, and we believe, is if we're possessing the ball on offense, and that can be through the passing game, through the running game, that we're going to then be able to stay on the field longer, going to be able to convert and hopefully put more points on the board. And honestly, when our defense has been well rested this year and when we've won the time of possession, we've won those games. So yes, we'll have opportunities in our offense for big play and big strike type offensive production. But we're going to be more of a methodical team, convert third and fourth downs, and as we recruit, you know, for future years, more and more playmakers and you know, increased speed and athletic ability on offense, then those big plays are going to come on a more readily play. But here, what we're going to do right now and this week, we're going to try to mix in the run and pass game, and you know, they're very sound on defense. They're what you think of a Coast Guard defense. They're going to be tough. They're going to be mentally and physically disciplined. They're going to be in the right place at the right time. So we're going to have to be it's all about execution. It's about putting our guys in situations where we know what we need to do. We need to go out and then execute what we've been assigned to do. So I think that will hopefully give our defense some freshness, so when they take the field, they can be aggressive and play fast and physical. And you know, as you're playing a team like Coast Guard, we give them all the respect. It was a hard-fought game last year when we played them, and we were able to pull away. But you know, they've been scoring points on some teams, so I know that they can score, and I know they've been able to slow down some teams. So defensively, they're going to be sound. And you know, being their last senior day at home, I know that their seniors are going to be excited to play, and it'll be a heck of a game.
Endicott College football coach Kevin DeWald. They are at Coast Guard this Saturday afternoon for a noon kickoff. Now, just ahead on our program, we have our MSO Harrington Trophy Player of the Week Award winner, Johnny Jones from Beverly High School. He talks with our own Tim Kearns. Then we have Steve Krause, the item sports editor from the Daily Item of Lynn, of course, talking North Shore High School football. And then our own MSO's John Squires, putting it all together, looking at all the games coming up this weekend. We'll get his analysis just ahead.
For MSO News Sports, I'm Tim Kearns, and this is the MSO News Sports Player of the Week. And with me this week for his outstanding play in the Somerville game is Beverly defensive back Johnny Jones. Johnny, congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.
Certainly your playing time has increased over the course of the season. What has that meant to you?
It's been awesome seeing my senior year, my last go at football. It's been really special. You know, I started off kind of slow. I was splitting time at the beginning of the season, but it's kind of like picked up. And, you know, we've been watching a lot of film, and that's kind of helped me kind of make plays in the game.
You know, certainly you've been extremely active in the secondary, not only defending passes. You've got three picks in the last few games, two big ones last week against Somerville. But certainly you've been really active in the run game as well. Come on, make a lot of big hits.
Yeah, I know. Like, for most teams in high school, a lot of teams are running the ball hard. So, you know, we have to, as a cornerback, you have to come up, set the edge once you make your read.
You know, what has enabled you to be in a position to get three picks in the last two games? What's helped there?
Well, it certainly starts with practice. You know, Coach Murnsey and Coach Shears do a great job, and Coach Fultz of showing us the film, showing them like their favorite routes, kind of like the keys, their best formations, and that puts us in a great position to make the plays on the field.
You know, against Lynn Classic, it was a big pick right at the end of the game. Classical had some momentum, and you jumped the route, you stepped in front of the receiver, made the pick, and it was the same thing last week again. Somerville, you took an opportunity of a great read and made crucial picks.
Yeah, I know. Once again, you got to give it to the coaches for just showing us the film and everything, and then once you get out there, you just can't think about it. You just got to make the play. You just got to step up.
That's a great point you just made. It was reacting to the play, not thinking about it, but just reacting, recognition and react.
Yeah, I know, because if you think about it, especially in a position like secondary, if you think about a play too long, a guy will run past. You just kind of got to step up and just believe in yourself and just kind of make the play.
As a senior, the increased playing time, again, has to mean a great deal to you, especially you're in the postseason now, and again, every play can make a difference.
Yeah, I know. It's been a lot being my last go at it with football, but like as the year's gone on, I've been getting in there more, and that's meant a lot to me.
Well, certainly your teammates have been glad you picked this time of your career to step up and make the plays.
Yeah, I know. With the postseason coming up, it's been good. It's been fun.
You know, you got a really big game this week and a really, really top-notch opponent. What's the team been talking about?
You know, we've just been just stick to the basics. You know, you can't change everything just for one opponent. You just got to keep doing what we're doing, keep sticking to the program and buying into it.
Great. Listen, John, congratulations on being MSO's Player of the Week, on your outstanding performance. And again, it really covers 2 weeks and not just 1 week. So I know the people of Beverly, other Panther supporters, are looking for, again, continued a high level of play, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Okay, that's been Johnny Jones, MSO News Sports Player of the Week, for his outstanding play against Somerville. For MSO News Sports, I'm Tim Kearns.
Joining us at this time is Steve Krause, sports editor of the Daily Item in Lynn. And, Steve, here we are in another week of playoffs.
Yep, it's getting down to interesting time now. Couple of teams, most of the teams that I figured would get this far are still around. One team that I didn't think would get this far is still around, and that's Peabody. Congratulations to them for a big win over Westford Academy.
Yeah, they're on the road while you're talking about Peabody. They're at a number one seed in Lincoln Sudbury on Friday night, so that'll be a tough one. No, I don't know anything about Lincoln Sudbury, but I do agree with what you were kind of writing this week in the paper, is that that might be a tough matchup for Lincoln Sudbury.
Peabody's no slouch. They have a very good defense. The defense is any place they've gotten has been because of the defense, and if they can just muster up enough offense, you know, to go along with that, they're going to be okay. I mean, I think if you're looking for a team that you can honestly say from day one to now has steadily improved, it would be Peabody. He's got some kids in there on offense that can make plays now. Doherty, Jake Doherty, I think, is in, and Josh Freeman. I think it's Josh. Noah Freeman. And D'Amato, you know, him too. They get some kids who can make plays, and that's important. I don't know. Going down there at Lincoln Sudbury on a Friday night, that's no fun. I mean, even if all things are equal, that's kind of a tall task. But we'll see.
Well, I mean, they don't sell Lincoln Sudbury short. It's a great place to visit on a Friday night, Steve. Come on.
Once you're there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. There you go. All right. And but it's just 128-128, and on we go to some other games. How about St. Mary's? A lot of teams drawing away seeds. I mean, playing away this weekend in our local area, but St. Mary's is playing at home, and they've got Linfield from right down the street playing against them at Manning Field on Friday.
Second week in a row where St. Mary's is playing a team from this immediate area. Winthrop came over to Manning Field last week, and St. Mary's beat them pretty thoroughly. I honestly thought that Winthrop might give them a better test, but it didn't work out that way. I think Linfield can give St. Mary's a test, but it's one thing to give a team a test, and it's another team to beat them. And I, on record many times this year and still on record, is saying that I just don't think anybody's going to beat them. I just don't. I don't see it. There is nothing about anything that they do that is subpar. I mean, other than a kicking game, how do you know they don't have to kick? They haven't even had to punt in any of the games that I've seen them. And one thing I will say about their kicker is that when he kicks off, which he's had plenty of practice doing, he kicks those squib kicks like you'd kick an onside kick, where there's one big bounce and it bounces over, and next thing you know, the other team's got the ball on like their two. And you're just not going to go that far against that St. Mary's defense. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, no return. And I can remember talking to somebody early in the year. They were talking about Linfield. And Linfield has had some very good teams the last few years. But they were saying, but maybe not this year. But yet, on the other hand, here they are. They're in the postseason the second week. So give them a lot of credit for what they've accomplished.
One thing about the Neil Weidman era of Linfield is it good or bad? Those teams compete, and those teams, I don't recall maybe three or four times in all the years Weidman's been the coach that Linfield's gotten really, really blown out. They're there. They might not win, but they leave the field at the end of the game having competed.
Yeah, and they've actually, you know, obviously done a lot of winning as well. Well, let's jump to the big Division 2A game in the area. That would be the Marblehead game at home against Gloucester on Friday night. And, I mean, there's, you know, earlier in the year, you know, I think you mentioned teams getting better during the year. I would put Gloucester in that category. But the question is, you know, they may be improving, but they still are. This is the best team right now on the North Shore, and at least in the Northeastern Conference.
Yeah, I think Gloucester should be up there in the Northeastern Conference, Lars. I think that's one of the – sorry to whoever did this, and I don't mean to be insulting, but it's silly for them to be playing in that small division. They're a big city. They're an urban city. They have more in common with the urban schools. Come on, somebody fix that. I think that if Gloucester were in that upper division, they lost to Beverly, but that was in week two. When, you know, they might have had to put some refinement in their game, but Boy, you can't tell me that they can't compete in that division. But be that as it may, I think it's going to be a great game. I really think that's going to be one heck of a game. They may be in that small division, but they're a big school and they're a big team. And that Christian Sanfilippo has really played well over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I understand Marblehead is probably of that in Northeastern Conference, the class of the conference, but it's going to be a good game. I really, that's no insult to Marblehead. I just think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the fact that Gloucester, against some tough opponents last week in the playoffs, were, you know, they were able to get Sanfilippo some touches and some yards and, you know, against good defenses. And so you're right. I think when you look at the divisions too, Steve, there's always somebody that maybe should move down or somebody move up. So there are those teams on the edges. And right now, clearly, you'd think that Gloucester could easily have played up in the North Division this year instead of down in that South Division.
Yeah. Mostly it's balanced well. I mean, I would have said maybe 3 years ago that there's no way Danvers belongs up there, but they do now. I mean, that's a very good team.
Good point, yeah. They're at North Reading on Friday night, but, you know, I guess if we were to maybe peek at one other game, Steve, would be Bishop Fenwick on the road at Triton, a team that had a great Cape Ann League season this year.
I love this Fenwick team. I love the Fenwick program. I think that Dave Woods is a tremendous coach. No matter what up there, it's like talking about Linfield all over again. No matter what goes on up there, that team competes. They've lost one regular season game in 4 years. In the only game they lost this year, they had to sit on a bus for 2 hours going down to Braintree in rush hour, and they even think they didn't play well. Most of the time they play well, though. And I'm looking at Triton, and I'm saying there's a team that started off like a house of fire. But, you know, their two losses were against Masconomet and North Reading, so it's not like they lost to Stiffs.
No.
I think it'll be a real good game.
Yeah, and I'm interested, too, in looking. You know, when you look at, Steve, my hand scratches here on this paper here, but when you look at the Cape Ann League teams that are still alive, it's probably the best teams in the Cape Ann League that are still alive. And I'm interested to see what those scores would be, what will look like when we see them on Friday night. Masco at Billerica, but they've done really well of late. Stoneham playing at Ipswich, you know, Ipswich team. Triton hosting Fenwick. You know, they may not win, you know, like a Triton on Friday night, but be interesting to see what the score is.
I think, I mean, you got the recipe this week and for a lot of good games. Last weekend, there weren't a lot of good games. It was just every game seemed to be a blowout. But this week, boy, I'll tell you, I could see, even prep Andover, I can just see good games all over the landscape this weekend. And, you know, for somebody who's a detractor of this system, and I'm guilty as charged, I mean, if it can produce games like I think are going to happen this weekend, then maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I think that these are, that's the pluses to this, but yet on the other hand, who knows? But finally, how about Prep and Andover in the sense that they're at the Prep again? Prep has another home game, but Andover is coming off that overtime. What, they get 52 points? Or?
Yeah, there was no defense played in that game at all, apparently. I don't know. The Prep is going to be they're a little beat up. You know, their quarterback went down in that game. I haven't had a chance to call over to see how they're doing with that. I think they lost a lineman for the year. He looked like he had a pretty serious injury. And Hayden Rocket was already out with a concussion. So this is when Prep depth has to come into play here. You know, they can afford to carry a second stringer that might be a first stringer in any other city or town. We'll see how that goes.
Gotcha. All right, Steve, good talking with you, and we'll check in again soon.
Take care, Bill.
Yep. Steve Krause, sports editor, Daily Item of Lynn, here on MSO News Sports. We continue along with John Squires talking high school football this week, and we're into, week 9 here and into the second week of the playoffs. And, John, let's begin with Division I. Let's take this in order here. And we've got Everett versus Central Catholic, St. John's Prep hosting Andover. I mean, how many Andover's coming off that overtime, what, that 50-50 score game, whatever it was? They seem to have these games all the time. And I know E.J. Perry and his son were on the Monday night North Shore Sports Night show this week and in this program as well. But what a craziness that is. And they're bringing that show to Danvers on Saturday.
Well, that's a great tradition, that Perry family up in Andover. And it's very interesting. I think the final score, like you said, was like 54-48 in double overtime maybe or overtime. But anyways, and he threw 5 touchdown passes. That's a great athletic family. And they got a great program going up there. What I find interesting is I did note that some of the players on offense were not playing defense. One being the Perry, the quarterback. They moved him to play defense. I guess the family brothers put pressure on Coach Perry, said, look, you got to get EJ out there to play some defense. And he made a big play to win the game, to knock down a pass in the end zone, so or close to it. So it's just a great tradition. The prep is really Brian St. Pierre does a great job over there. They're 6-2. Andover, I think they're 4-4, but came from a real tough league. And I'm not going to make any predictions this week, Bill. Every time I open my big mouth, I'm not even close. But that's going to be a real good football game. Andover at St. John's Prep. And the way the Andover's playing with Perry at quarterback, I think that's a toss-up. You look at Central Calf and Everett, apologies to John Dibb. They destroyed Haverhill last weekend, and right now they're rolling. And the one prediction I will make is they may be the best team in Division I North and South, even going down towards Xavierian and Brockton and BC High and all those schools down south. But Everett, I think, is going to handle Coach Adamopoulos' team from Central Catholic, and then could play the prep in the final there.
Well, you hear Adamopoulos, and you're thinking Peabody from many years ago, us old-timers, but on to Division 1A, Peabody playing at number one seed at Lincoln Sudbury on Friday night at 7. Also in that division, Chelmsford playing at Reading. But, John, this Peabody team, you know, you got to think they're a huge underdog hitting on the road and going down to Lincoln Sudbury. But yet, what a job, what an uphill climb they've had this year in putting the pieces together. Every week they just seem to be getting better.
Yeah, Coach Bennecourt's done a great job over there. We were talking before we went on the air here is that he may be in candidate for a coach of the year. They were 1-3 at one time. They're 4-4 now. They're beating some big teams. They upped somebody last weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if they gave Lincoln Sudbury all they could handle. It's going to be a tough chore down there, though. Lincoln Sudbury comes from that tough Duke County League. They're champs. They got one loss, so that's going to be a tough one. But nothing surprised me. He's done a great job. Chelmsford and Reading, two programs that come with a history. Reading is very tough in that league. They've been there before. Chelmsford hasn't been this far before, even though they have a lot of history going way back to the early Super Bowls. I think they're in the second or third Super Bowl, but that should be a good game too. But I look for Lincoln Sudbury and probably Reading to move on.
Yeah, okay. Now in Division II, we've got Beverly at Tewksbury in a broadcast game Saturday at 2 with Marty Smith and Tim Kearns, and then Masconomet on Friday night at Billerica, 7 o'clock. Masco, I'd put almost in that same category as Peabody in a way, as they've just been getting better as the year has been going on. Had the big win to close out the regular KPAN League season, and now they're at Billerica. And I don't know who. I mean, obviously Billerica's got the top seed here, and but it should be. But you think Beverly's going to have a tough go at it Friday night, Saturday afternoon?
I do. I really do. I think Beverly's done a great job. They've kind of strained the ship, so to speak, after those two midseason losses. They go into Tewksbury 6-2, but Tewksbury may be the class of that division. Tewksbury did beat Billerica, who I thought was going to be the top team in that tier. So they got a tall task. But I don't put anything by these kids from Beverly. They want to play to win. There's a great quote in last week's in Salem News, why not us, talking about why not moving on and so forth. But they do have their hands full, and I look for Tewksbury to handle them. As far as Billerica, I think Billerica will take care of Masco, and we'll have that beautiful matchup with Tewksbury and Billerica.
All right, so if you're trying to answer Sam Abatey from Beverly High School as to why not us, your answer is Tewksbury. Okay. Yeah, and those have been tough games. I think it wasn't it last year that it was it 2 years ago when Danvers, maybe last year, Danvers, when they went to Tewksbury, right, and they won. I mean, you're thinking, oh my gosh, it's another tough situation. So we'll see how it plays out. Now in 2A, I want to tell the listeners that we got a nice twist to the 2A thing coming up at the end of the program. You want to stay tuned for that. But we've got Gloucester at Marblehead Friday night, live streaming video with Rick Moore and Paul Ingram at 7 o'clock. on Friday night. The winner of that game will play the winner of the Danvers at North Reading game. We'll have updates on that game on Friday night at 7 o'clock. So that's the 2A matchups. Gloucester again at Marblehead. And that's going to be a tough matchup for the Fishermen.
Yeah, it is going to be a tough matchup. And I look for that to be the tier with probably the best two games. Gloucester-Marblehead. Gloucester's really, really playing well. Marblehead still is the class of the area, I think. I think Marblehead has the best team in the North Shore, and that's including St. Mary's. And I think they're just going to be tough for Gloucester. Gloucester's going to have to control the ball. And you always, coach always says, we keep the ball out of Marblehead's hands, but they have a running back who can explode at any time and keep them in the ball game. But I look for Marblehead to move on. Then you got a beauty, Danvers at North Reading. You got two real good running backs, McCarthy from North Reading and Andreas, along with Borders and the rest of the crew from Danvers. I think that's going to be a beauty. But I think the one that I've been looking for and pointing down the road is I look for Danvers to move on and Danvers to play Marblehead next week in the finals, which would be great.
All right, well, you can get ahead like that. The other coaches wouldn't want to talk like that, but that would be a rematch of last year's playoff game where, again, Marblehead won during the regular season, but Danvers won in the postseason last year against Marblehead. So that would be a fierce and ferocious matchup a week from this weekend. Division 3 North, we've got Newburyport at Watertown, Fenwick playing at Triton. Both those games are Friday night. And, you know, a lot of times you might go with the upper-seeded team, but in this case, Fenwick playing at Triton. Fenwick is a very good team.
Fenwick is a very good team. I look for Fenwick to beat Triton this week, and I look in the other game for Newburyport to get down by Watertown. Fenwick, I believe, is a class of that division, as in Division 3A, St. Mary's. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I think Fenwick has a lot of weapons. They have a quarterback who's proven, a real good running back, some receivers. Their defense is down to turn the corner, and I have nothing but great things to say. I have a real soft place in my heart for Bishop Fenwick. I have nothing good but good things to say about Coach Woods and his staff. So I look for Fenwick to move on to play Watertown after Watertown disposes of Newburyport.
Okay, all right. And finally, on to 3A. And this is the guy that wasn't going to pick any games this week. But but in 3A, it's Linfield at St. Mary's. It looks like a tough one for Linfield. St. Mary's just crushing opponents so far this year. And Stoneham is playing at Ipswich, both those Friday night games.
Yeah, I think St. Mary's might have the second-best team in the North Shore next to Marblehead. And that's going out a little bit on a limb, I know. But Coach Durgan's got them playing great. They got a lot of weapons. They got two fantastic running backs. I don't think Linfield has seen anything like that in the Cape Ann as well as this year. So I think you're going to have a lot of trouble stopping St. Mary's. As far as Stoneham and Ipswich, Stoneham is having a resurgence over there. They're turning their program around. And Ipswich, Coach Flaherty down there, has done a great job. Ipswich has moved on as far as they have moved on in years. So, but I look for Stoneham to knock off Ipswich and St. Mary's, and then St. Mary's to be that division winner.
It'll be interesting to see how those play out, because you got I was talking about with somebody. You know, you got a lot of Northeastern Conference teams and Cape Ann League teams still alive in the postseason this weekend. That'll change by the end of the weekend. But for right now, okay. So now in 2A. Steve Dembowski, former coach at Swampscott, left to go down to Milton. Head coach at Milton. He's had some success down there. And you're telling me that there's a chance that Milton could play Marblehead, that's Dembowski against Rudloff, in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Milton's got a big task ahead of him. They've got to go down to Falmouth, who may be one of the most underrated teams in the state. They're undefeated, Falmouth. They have a very big squad. They have a lot of size. But Coach Dembowski, he's a magician. He does a lot of things. And he, I know, would love, especially after losing a tough game to Wellesley for that championship in that league, to knock them off. If they knock them off, they have a possibility to move on to play in the finals and then play in the Super Bowl and be the representative of the South. And if Marblehead moves on, Marblehead, they could be matching up, so it would be a la Swampscott Marblehead coaches from the past. And let me just say this. They have a tremendous respect for one another, but when it comes to scoring points, they have no love loss, and they have no, they love to play against each other, and they love to beat each other. Two real good coaches. That would be a beautiful little bit of North Shore touch.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, John, great talking with you. Oh, wait a minute, one last thing. I know we've got a slew of non-league games this week. That list just grows and grows, and we probably should just touch on them. We got English at home against Lawrence, Classical on the road to North Andover, and Your swamp, your hometown Swampscott Big Blue are home hosting Pawtucket on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. And what's great about this program, it gives the kids a chance to keep playing and an opportunity to win, put some ball points on the board and get some wins. You know, I love to see Lynn Inglis beat Lawrence, and I think they have a very good chance this week. Classical's still playing well. He's keeping them, Coach Phelps is keeping them together as a group. They have a real good opportunity to go up and beat North Andover. And Pawtucket, Swampscott. Swampscott's got to get back on the winning track, and I look for Swampscott to knock off Pawtucket this weekend. And the rest of the league, we got Lynn Tech and Essex Tech. That's an old-time rivalry. We got Georgetown playing East Boston, you know, in our area. Saugus AC, I'd love to see Saugus get their first win. Wakefield-Bedford, that should be a good matchup. And then Salem, it would be great to see Salem getting on the winning track against Burlington. So the kids are going to get an opportunity to play, and we do have some opportunities for these teams in the North Shore that haven't been successful, real successful win record-wise, to get some wins, Ws, this weekend.
There are actually some decent matchups here, to be honest with you, as you look at those games in the non-playoff format. All right, there he is. That's John Squires. John, great seeing you.
Thanks, Billy. Have a great weekend.
This is MSO News Sports.
Now, let's recap what's ahead this weekend on MSO in case you weren't paying attention. Live streaming video Friday night, Gloucester at Marblehead. Rick Moore, Paul Ingram, and Andrew Nicastro on hand for that live streaming video game Friday night. Live radio Friday night, we're hoping to have for you the Danvers at North Reading game, kickoff at 7 o'clock. Both those games, Division 2A North contests. Then on Saturday, a Division 2 game, Beverly playing at Tewksbury, 2 o'clock kickoff. Marty Smith and Tim Kearns with the call for you right here on MSO News Sports. A special thanks to Rick Moore, Tim Kearns, and of course our coaches, Steve Krause of The Item, John Squires from MSO Radio, and of course our Player of the Week, Johnny Jones from Beverly High School. I'm Bill Newell. Have a great football weekend this weekend here on MSO News Sports.